panic when you see the paper and it says 18 ways to support missionaries. This is not an 18-point message. So, and I do not anticipate getting over all 18 items on the list. We'll just see how far we do get. And then on another occasion, I would perhaps complete it. When you think about supporting a missionary, what do you generally think about? How do you generally think about supporting a missionary? Anybody?
Money.
Money, right. Send them it monthly or quarterly, whatever a church's procedure is. What's the other primary way that you think about supporting a missionary?
Prayer.
Prayer, obviously, is something that everybody can and should do for missionaries. when it comes to financial support, yes, churches give financial support. Sometimes individuals will. I've known of families that have had the project of a missionary. They select as a family a missionary, and they support that missionary. What I'm familiar with is if a family has children in elementary age grade, they will find a missionary family with children that are elementary grade age. And they will communicate back and forth. They'll not only get their prayer letter, but they will write to each other. They'll encourage the children within the families to develop a pen pal relationship. and of course, today with the electronics, they would maybe do a Skype, you know, together with that missionary family. I've known, and they'll keep that family indefinitely. I've known of some that will adopt a mission family, and then it's not so much age related, but they'll adopt a missionary family for the year. And for 1 year, they interact with that missionary family. It may be the family is supported by the church on a regular basis, or it may be that it was a missionary who, as I say, passed through. They were on deputation. They stopped. They had a service. We may or may not continue to get their prayer letters. But from that group, I've known of families that have adopted a missionary, and like I say, sometimes for 1 year at a time, so that their children, themselves, if their children are grown, they have more interaction with more missionaries. So there's these are the two common ways of supporting, and are obviously excellent ways. But what I want to introduce you to today, and this is all from the book of Acts except for one verse. One verse is from 2 Timothy, and when we come to it, I'll tell you that that's what we need. But they're all from the book of Acts, and just as the heading on it says, 18 ways to support missionaries. Now, I first heard this when the credit line at the bottom, John O'Malley, he is now director of the New Testament New Testament World Baptist Missions. I think that's what it is. That's real close to it. As a matter of fact, it's in Kings Mountain, North Carolina, which is on a map about a quarter inch from Shelby, North Carolina. When I was looking up to see where Mike and Tanya live and saw Shelby, and I thought, wow, that's where Kings Mountain is. That's where the O'Malleys live. And as you can see, I first heard this in 1997. Wow, it's a long time ago. And I've been talking to people saying different things that I've done, when I've done them, and so on. And I think Brother, no, it wasn't Dale, it was somebody younger. not great, Dale, somebody younger. Anyway, they said, I wasn't even born yet. And that's what happens when you look like this. As a church, we may not do all of the things listed here. As an individual, you may not do all of the things listed here. It is given just to let us know that these are ways that missionaries need support and can benefit, and a way that churches and individuals can give support to missions beyond the financial and in addition to the prayer. All right, the first one is prayer support. We're looking at Acts chapter 4, and I'm going to be looking at verse 29. I don't have to repeat it five times because you've got it in front of you, all right? And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. What is being given here is a request to the Lord. What is a request to the Lord? Prayer, right? It doesn't have to say, and I prayed, okay? He's saying, he's asking the Lord to behold the threatenings and grant to the servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. And so it is. Lord, we pray that you'll give Doug Nispel over in Romania your help with these three men that he has opportunity to speak to. Okay? It is Doug Nispel, isn't it? Yeah, three people in Romania. And so we prayed that Wednesday night for the Lord to grant the servants, Doug and Lisa Nispel, that with boldness he can speak. He'll have wisdom and understanding so he can speak confidently. That's what the word bold carries, the idea of confidently. And so here we have an example in the Bible of prayer support. And so when we have prayer letters, now, just so you understand, when we have get a missionary prayer letter from a missionary that we support on a regular basis financially, that's, you know, monthly support is sent to them. And again, do we send monthly or quarterly?
Monthly,
okay. The check goes out monthly. And from them, when we get their prayer letter, we photocopy it and pass it out to each family. Now, we have many missionaries who have come through on deputation, like Jonathan and Darlene Combs did a couple weeks ago. When we get their prayer letters, we make three or four copies and put them on the rack that's over there. Now, you will also find some copies of our supported missionaries. That's so when somebody comes in as a visitor, when I go visit a church, one of the things I look for is their mission board, their mission display. If they have missionary letters out, okay? A lot of churches will have a wall on which they'll make a pocket with a wood frame, okay, and a clear plexiglass front, and then they put the newest prayer letter in there. And it looks nice, and it is one frequently used way to display the letters. I always preferred what we do. We photocopy it, we put it in your hand. Because I guarantee you, more will read it sitting at home in their living room than will stand and read that whole letter. And even if they stand and read the whole letter, unless they take out a pen and paper and write down the requests, only 1% with a fantastic memory are going to remember what to pray for. So now we're back to praying, God bless the Nispels. No,
he has some specific needs, and we intercede for those needs. So that's why when I was asked to work with missions, I started photocopying the letters. You say, well, not everybody reads them. More will read them than won't. But church, I don't know what to say. It truly grieves my heart. It gives me another emotion that I shouldn't have. But when I make three copies of missionaries who pass through in deputation, I make copies of three letters, put it in the rack, and then the next time I get a new letter, I make three copies. I take the old three out and throw them away, put three new ones in. You say, what's wrong with that? Nobody's picking them up to read. Now, I know some of you, because I've asked already, and some of you receive their emails. Praise the Lord for that. And I encourage you, if you do emailing, contact our missionaries and have them send it to you. But other than that, pick up a copy. Take it home. Be familiar. You say, well, I can't know all of them. No, you're right. We can't know all of them, but we can know more than what we do. We can be more familiar so that we can give, number one, prayer support. Number two is chapter 4 yet, and verse 34, and this is headed as sacrificial support. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold. And so hear what these people were doing for the sake of the ministry was selling. Now, this was a time when they were living in communal form. I understand that. They were sacrificing nevertheless. Now, I'm not in any way even inferring that you should go sell your property and your lands. Okay? That's not what I'm saying. I'm using it as an example of sacrifice. And there are times when we do need to sacrifice. And a time when we need to consider, do we need to get another car? Should we maybe let this one go an extra year, not only saving for the car, but now we don't have that payment and that burden God gave us for a particular missionary, now we can give to them. And maybe it's just a project that missionary has. They, in a prayer letter, announce about the building of a church building. Frequently hear that. If they're jungle missionaries, you may read them about needing to buy a new boat or motor for the boat. And so, you know, sacrifice can be involved in giving. Sacrifice can be involved. I talked about a family adopting missions, and they want to send birthday gifts to the different family members. And but you know, how do we do that? Where our budget's already tight, and we, you know, this can't come out of our church giving. Our church giving is just that; it's for the church. And so this doesn't come out of that. And how can we? Well, maybe. You know, if dad, you go to work, or mom, and maybe, you know, you don't buy a can of pop. You know, back when I started using this illustration, a can of pop in a machine was 50 cents. Things have changed, haven't they? And, you know, if you buy a can of pop each day and you did forego that, you'd have what? A work week, 5 days, you'd have $5 a week. You'd be able to send a missionary $20. Okay? And of course, I realize with the cost of shipping and postage anymore, it's almost prohibitive to buy an object, an item,
and mail it to them. The rates are out of sight, but certainly you can make the donation to their mission agency or wherever it is that their finances go. Communicate with them that we gave $20 for Mary's birthday. Please take her out and buy a gift that she would like. There's always exchange rate when it comes to missionaries. How much is a dollar worth in that country? There's times where the dollar's worth more, okay? Then there's times where the dollar's worth. Next week, we will have our daughter and her husband, Mark and Monica Bradfield, here at church. And he'll be preaching the first Sunday in May. and so there's times where we have sent Monica her support and the dollar was not good. And it's been as low as what? Half? Yeah. There's been some years where we send her a dollar and she could only get half of it in value in the sterling pound. Okay. Very frequently it's between 60% and 70%. And so, you know, sometimes you'll hear churches and people say, well, they need so much money, they use so much money. How come they need that much money? Well, one of the reasons is because of the exchange rate. You see, they're living in that country, and therefore the exchange rate, in order for them to receive a dollar, you almost have to give, like in this case, we would have had to give $2 for her to get one. And so, sacrificial support. There's different ways that this sacrificing can come about and take place. But let's move on to some others. The third one is the survey trip support. And we're going to chapter 8 for this one. Chapter 8. In chapter 8, we're going to be looking at verse 14. Chapter 8, verse 14. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. And we're looking at this like a survey trip. Now, a missionary, a man and or woman that are called to be a missionary to a specific country, it's very common that what they will do is go to that country on what is called a survey trip. And that's just what they're doing. They're surveying the country. They are trying to get an insight to what that country is like. Obviously, they've talked with other missionaries. They've talked with a missionary board or agency and their leaders. In our day, they've been able to go online and learn much about the country and the culture and living there and what it would cost to live there. But the survey trip gives them the opportunity to, in person, be in that country, hear the sounds, and they usually will go to the area that they believe God wants them to work in. And so they would go to that area, be it country or city, and they'll look at the people, they'll interact with the people. They obviously are going to have somebody who speaks that language. Frequently, that'll be another missionary who would meet them at the airport, take them to their hotel or house, wherever it is they're staying, and then that missionary would go with them and they would talk with the people. They would talk with the national pastors and they interact with them. What are they doing? They're surveying the need. They're trying to evaluate the situation. They believe God has called them there. Now listen, if God's called them to go, that's where they go to. The survey trip is not to determine, is this where we want to go? If God's leading them to go to that country, the survey trip is for the purpose of evaluating that country, how they are going to fit into it. Okay? You understand the survey trip. And you say, well, we're not going on a survey trip. No, that's why I said we won't do all of these, even as a church. Now, as a church, what we may be involved with is giving support to somebody who's going on a survey trip. All right? We may be able to help them. We get a letter. They came through. We get a letter that they are going to go on a survey trip. And they won't all call it that term. Okay? Some will simply say, we're going to the country. We want to look things over. Okay, that's the survey trip. And so so they need X number of dollars. And so we may participate in that survey trip support by sending them a love offering to help buy their airfare to go to that country and perform this. This is what's involved in missions. Now, there have been times, and this is an important benefit outcome of a survey trip. There have been times where people have gone on a survey trip and they have realized they misread God's leading. Okay? It isn't that they didn't like the sights and sounds and smells. It's just that when they got there and observed all that was there and went through, they began to understand within them. And this doesn't come within a couple of days, okay? A survey trip will frequently last a week. I think 2 weeks would probably be a long survey trip. But regardless of the length of it, they may not even come to this conclusion until they're home. But they realize they misread, and this is not where they should go. Listen, that was a well-spent survey trip. Because the last thing that we need in missions is for a family to go to a country. It devastates the family when it's not where they should be.
That's right.
Because of the stress and the strain that's on the parents, it's transferred to the kids. Just what the parents go through. Such individuals, if they don't realize this, that they misread, maybe they, in their own enthusiasm, read into it. This is what God wants us to do. And so, deputation, let me pause there for a minute. You think deputation is such a waste of time. No, it's not a waste of time. I'm going to preach sometime about deputation and why we do deputation and the benefits of deputation. But there have been people who have been on deputation and they can't make it on deputation. And you begin to realize they've not been called. And they begin to realize we haven't been called. We had an emotional burden for a place, but we didn't have a call from God. And there's a difference, by the way, between an emotional burden and a call.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Okay? And so such an individual would say, we haven't really been called. And that deputation proves that. Deputation typically will last 2 to 4 years. Okay? One of the reasons for that is because Bible-believing churches that support Bible-believing missionaries, the churches are shrinking in number.
Yes, sir.
And here's a fascinating fact for you. Do you know that more missionary support comes out of churches like ours and churches up to just 200 or 300 in number? For us around here, a church of 200 or 300, wow, that's big, you know. But it would be here. But you get to some areas and that's not a large church. But you know that most support for missionaries, more missionary dollars are given through small churches like ours and those that I just described than come out of the churches of 1,000 or more people. Yeah, you with it. But you see, they have so many other kinds of programs that they're financing. And listen to me, if the leadership is not teaching and promoting missions, neither will the congregation. Neither will the congregation. And so, now, we're talking about survey trips. One of the benefits is a person goes on a survey trip, they realize this, they misread,
And this is not what God wants them. It's good to find that out before they go through all of the turmoil and finances of going to a country that God did not intend them. So a survey trip is a way to support. Our way of doing that would be to just give toward the cost of a survey trip. But listen, God calls one of our people to go to be a missionary. You see, that can happen. That can happen. I didn't understand that. In my beginning years of ministry, I would look at churches that had people going out into be missionaries and to be pastors. And I thought to myself, my, that must be something. That'd be great. And now I look back and I realize we've had 11 people go out into full-time ministry through our service at Grace Bible Church. And so, you know, I think what we have is four. We had two in a health ministry going around to churches and helping. We have one, Terry Ireland, coming to help with the siding on the parsonage, okay? And then we have our church here. We support Dan Bergman, and he works out of the home office with Jewish outreach, and he himself contacts and works with Jews. And so so we've got, you know, I'm picking my mind, and then we've got most, I think it's Josh Kidd, you know, right? Good point. Josh Kidd, who was here, and we passed out his prayer letters, and you say, I don't recognize that name. You didn't read the letter then.
That's right.
Because you said if you read the letter, and the Filers, yeah, they're up in Maine and starting a church up in Maine. So, you know, I look back and I see all of these people, wow, they went out of Grace Bible Church to go into ministry. Man, that's awesome. You see, my nose was to the grindstone, you know? Is that how it goes, your nose to the grindstone? Anyway, you know, I was just so focused on doing all of the little individual aspects, and then it's only when I was able to step back and look at the bigger picture that we realize what happened. And so, folks, don't think, who's going to go into ministry out of here with a question mark of doubt? God could indeed call somebody. Now, do you notice I didn't say God could call some young person? Because God doesn't look at the age. God looks at the person. There could be somebody sitting here listening to me, hearing me today, that is thinking that God may want them in ministry. They may be thinking that God is desiring to lead them in the area of ministry, but they're not. They've never left it be known to anyone. The reason they've not left it to be known to anybody is because they know that once they do, then everybody's going to expect them to do that. And it's very possible, therefore, that such an individual has not yielded to the Lord. But we dare not say they've not gone out into ministry. And of course, here in our own church, when we think of going out into ministry, usually it's a matter of doing that, going out of here. We've got Brother Dale, who's in ministry and has the Liberty Behind Bars ministry that he conducts. He is in ministry, okay? So the church has one who's in ministry, even though he hasn't moved to wherever. Okay? He still stays at Belfast because his ministry is this area. Now, possibly the Lord could change that. We don't know what the future would hold for Dale regarding his ministry of Liberty Behind Bars. That's in God's hands. He is just ministering here where he knows God has him serving. Okay? And so that's a very important aspect. But survey trips, survey support. You support a missionary to do this kind of trip. And then let me check with my secretary to see if there's anything else that I'm forgetting. Anything I'm forgetting, anybody else that the folks know here, like you mentioned Josh Kidd, anybody else like that and so on. Okay, all right, just want to check. That's my secretary back there, okay? She's my memory, and she helped me to know that. Do you have a secretary, Chris? No, you've got one too. Okay, do you have a secretary?
Yes.
You got one too, okay. John, do you have a secretary? Oh yeah, she helps you remember, huh? Okay. Dave, Neil?
I have a treasurer.
You have a treasurer? Ah, yes. Survey trips, a means of supporting missionaries. You say, man, Pastor, we certainly are not going to get over 18. We've only done 3 of them so far. I guess I'll have a series here for about a year. Comforting support. In Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9 and verse 26. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he assayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas, and boy, there's a fantastic man, Barnabas, okay? But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way. Barnabas is saying, this man Saul saw the Lord when he was on the road to Damascus, how he had preached boldly at Damascus, that is, how Saul preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. You say, well, how do you get comforting support out of that? He speaks on their behalf. Okay, Barnabas did speak on behalf of Paul. He upheld Paul, who at that time was called Saul, Saul's ministry. Okay, and so we as a church can give comforting support in that we are able to endorse another missionary. Okay, so that like Jonathan Combs was here, and when he lists that he was here, there may be a church that would call and say, we were contacted by Jonathan Combs. What can you tell us about him? And then pastor would be able to go on and explain what Jonathan's ministry here at Black Creek was. And so we give comforting support. And of course, not only speaking on behalf of an individual to another, do you think this was encouraging in any way, comforting in any way to Saul? Here's Saul, who was persecuting the church. He's on the Damascus road. He has the blinding light experience. He gets born again, and he's just filled with fire for the Lord, and so he goes to Jerusalem, and while he's at Jerusalem, he wants to talk to them. And all the people at Jerusalem remember is this was the dude that was getting us persecuted. This is the guy that caused my cousin to get beat. This is the fellow that had my uncle thrown in jail. You think they want to listen to him? No, they're going to hold him at an arm's length. And he tells him, look, I've been saved. I understand what you're living for. And I agree with you. I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God.
well, this is beginning to sound good to the people of Jerusalem, but they're still not so sure, because the most recent thing they know about it is their uncle's still in jail. But now Dale comes up. They know Dale. You know Dale, right? Dale comes up, and he puts his arm around me. Okay? Dale comes up, he puts his arm around me, and begins to speak in my behalf. Speak. Luke was better than that. And so, you know, now they begin to understand. Huh? Yeah, Brianne says, I'm doing something here. Me. Yeah, and so it was a comfort to Saul to have the support of Barnabas. Just like it would be a comfort to a missionary to have the support that a pastor may give on their behalf. Not a lot, but there were some times where I would write a reference letter on behalf of a missionary, and they were able to take that. My mind is even at a loss to try and think of who it was at times, but that they would be able to use as a reference. Sometimes if a missionary has a flyer, they'll have on the back references that pastors can contact, okay? Or they may even have in their folder, you know, reduced in size, a brief reference letter from, and that's usually from a well-known pastor, so that as he travels, the name would be recognized. So there's comforting support. Well, we're at the end of the service time, and that's a comfort to you, isn't it? and I understand that as well. And so let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to talk about the matter of missions and what's important, dear Father, in the life of our missionaries and in our